was that blazing blade crashing down. The sudden slump of his mother's body as the life leapt from it. And there it was. His mother was dead. But she couldn't be dead. She would never have left him like that, so suddenly. She would never have bowed down to anyone, least of all a puny man, and let him chop her head off. Did she love him so little that she could leave him like that? No, that was unfair. Guilt flushed through him at the traitorous thought. She had done everything in her power to save him, even if that meant sacrificing herself. And what had he done in return? He had run, scared and mindless, creating such a ruckus in his passing that the whole troop had come bounding after him. He had been lucky. He had evaded them for now. But it could all too easily have ended with him dead, or worse, captured. Then his mother would have died in vain. His mother was dead. Benfro thrust his head into his hands, rubbing his scaly palms hard against his eyes. He wanted to scream, to sob, to cry, anything. Surely there was some emotional response in him, but he could do nothing. Nothing except watch as over and over again his mother's head fell lifeless to the ground. He had abandoned her. He had to go back. His mother was wise, a skilled healer. He had learned only a tiny fraction of her craft. Maybe it had all been a ruse, some near magic trick to get the men off her back. She would be whole and hearty and waiting for him to come home. She would laugh at him in that loving way and explain how she had beaten them once more. And she would have hot stew of venison bubbling away on the hearth with thick, crusty chunks of forest bread to help it down. Benfro's stomach grumbled, and he realized that he hadn't eaten since morning. The sky overhead had the dull purple twinge of twilight about it, and already a gloom was settling in between the trees. But how could he think of food at a time like this? How could he be so callous? And what if his mother needed him? What if the magic she had woven required his help to complete? He had to get back to her, had to make her whole again before she really did die. Benfro picked himself up and clambered to the top of the bank, sensing as he did that the questing presence of the Inquisitor was gone. No more the soft pulses of fear, no more the prickling in his skin. Evening birds had begun their noisy chorus, and the first nocturnal animals were scurrying about in the bush. If there were men in the forest now, they were a long way off. It took less time than he expected to get back to the clearing. For all that his panicked fleeing felt like it had taken hours, he had travelled only a short distance from home. His senses, those inexplicable feelings he had never noticed before, told him that there were no men around. But still he approached the house with care, his heart fluttering with a mixture of desperate hope and fatal realism. The house stood in the darkening night, a familiar shape surrounded by familiar sounds and smells. 14 years, his life, had been spent in this clearing. Yet as he approached, even before he could see the spot of his mother's execution, Benfro knew that there was something wrong. As he edged round the corner of the house, feeling the comforting rough surface of its walls, he saw the one thing he knew would be there, and yet hoped beyond hope would not. His mother was dead. Her body lay slumped on the blood-slicked ground. Her head was nowhere to be seen. Errol knelt in the small apse off the main worshipping hall that was reserved for novitiates. In front of him, the rough stone altar was adorned with candles, flickering in the cold draught that always whistled round the older parts of the monastery. They cast shadows on the uneven, mottled surface of the walls and ceiling, which moved in small leaps and bounds like wild animals in the depths of the forest. Distracted for a moment, he remembered happy times in his childhood when he would sit in the trees and wait and watch. It was something old Father Drebbel had taught him, that if he waited long enough, the animals would come to him. But he was not here to dwell on the past, he reminded himself. He was here to pray. I pledge my loyalty to thee, O Shepherd, and to my Queen Beulah of the House of Balwyn.